Good evening and a warm welcome to the Mr. Arsenal podcast. My name's Liam and I've got three spanking guests to introduce you to first and foremost. So a debut for Abby. Good evening, Abby. How are you?
Good evening. Yeah, I'm all good. I'm soaking up the Irish air while I'm on a little bit of a break. You can't call it a holiday because it rains every day.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it, really? But
yeah,
it is. If there's a better time to rain, it's February. It's February. You get away with it in February.
Yeah,
But absolutely lovely to have you on the show and be interested to talk all things Arsenal with you. Good evening to Mr. Sparks himself. How you doing, mate? Loving the jersey.
Yeah, everyone likes a freebie as well, don't they? Especially when the ticket prices are going up. So yeah, all good. Been a decent day, to be honest. So not on holiday or a fake holiday or a faux pas holiday, just at work.
Oh yeah, sounds the same, mate. Sounds absolutely the same. I was mixed during childcare and work today, which was it was very much a challenge. I can say that much.
It was.
And good evening to George. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Thanks. On the back of a double Arsenal win at the weekend, so I was at the end for the women. It's always good to smash United, so I was quite happy.
Yeah, it was a very good performance, wasn't it? 3-0 up in the first half.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been more, though, to be fair, mate. And then seeing old Skinner, he weren't happy.
No, I bet he weren't. And obviously, good evening to our guests already in the show. So good evening, Stefan. How you doing, mate? Good evening to the Hawkwind. Hope you're well. And good evening to Emerson. And also Stefan San, Holder 2-0 up at the Saints. Oh, yeah, it's a massive result with Stefan being an Ipswich fan. Southampton seems to be on a bit of a decline over the last couple of games. So, yeah, good result there. And obviously, just looking at the Man City Brentford score at half time, that is at 0-0. So, that'd be a spat. Let's hope it stays that way. Obviously,
better.
Well, yeah, it could be better, couldn't it? It could be. What was it last year? Ivan Toney, the 97th minute.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, but
I'm not sure Russ Morgan would enjoy that if a Toney goal goes in. He'll be chomping at that. We're going to quickly delve back into the game on Saturday quickly. I ain't going to go too much into it, but we are going to delve back into it. So we're looking at the starting lineup. So I'm just going to start with you, Abby. Was you worried about Burnley on Saturday, or was you pretty confident that we'd get the job done after that performance at West Ham?
So, no, I wasn't confident. I'm an Arsenal supporter. I'm never that confident. I always think everything's going to be a fluke. So I predicted a tight 1-0. I don't know why, really, after West Ham. Be honest, but this is going to be me now for the rest of the season until we lose one. It's going to be that. It's going to be a tight 1-0, and then I'll be like, well, I like to be surprised. So I wasn't expecting that, although I was foolish too because Burnley was shocking, and Arsenal were brilliant. So you put those two things together, then you've got a 5-0 scoreline. However, if Burnley had been a little bit better and we had still played the way we were, it probably should have been a 3-0. I don't know. I thought, maybe I've overhyped Kompany. I thought that, with Kompany's style and being a protege of Man City, he might come in to Burnley and, I don't know, be magical. I predicted him to do what Sheffield United did when they came up a few seasons ago. But it wasn't that. The one person who really did surprise me, and I've rewatched the game again because I'm in Ireland and the Wi-Fi is rubbish, I've had to, is Ben White. I've had a look at his positioning during that game, and what he's been able to do is release Udegaard, because I think it was the run-up to, I think it was Trossard's goal, I saw him, I think he got fouled in the run-up to it, but he was where Udegaard would normally be. And it just releases Udegaard to have a lot more space, a lot more freedom to do what he's born to do, and that's to be magical. It was a great game. I loved it. It's a shame we weren't tested more, actually. But, I'm loving the goals coming. Come on, bring on more.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's 11 goals in two games, 14 over the three games, if you include Liverpool, where we was looking at a massive deficit in terms of the goal difference, which is basically a point in itself. We're now heading the goal difference in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely smashing. We were all worried as well, weren't we? We're like, hang on a second, we're not scoring as many goals. We need a striker. I think everyone's got offended. I think Trossard and Saka and everyone's gone, hang on. We are strikers. We're just mixing it up on the pitch a little bit. And, they've got a little bit offended by all of those other well-famous shows that are out there that we will not mention.
No, you're absolutely bang on the buzzer in terms of obviously the guy scoring at the moment, because that's obviously Saka's third game in a row that he's obviously scored goals. Exactly the same for Trossard. And no, Martinelli may not have scored on Saturday, but he did everything but score goals in that performance, which I can't believe that he didn't get nothing out of the last two games. When you think that we banged 11 goals in and Martinelli hasn't scored a goal.
No, exactly. I mean, he's fire. We know exactly what he brings. I mean, that's 21 goals this year or since we come from Dubai, which just happens to be my age. Okay, no one's going to disagree. I'm going to have that. Hey, plus a little bit more. So who says we need a goal scorer apart from TalkSport? Who are they?
Ugh. Yeah. Exactly, we've let Mbappe go, so there you go.
Yeah, we've let Real Madrid have them after all, haven't we? We've gone, do you know what? It's okay, you have them. We need the.
I think we lost you there.
No,
totally froze. I think that was that Mbappe talk.
Yeah, it was Mbappe. Mbappe was bugging the system.
Yeah.
Going over to you, George. Same starting lineup as to the West Ham game. Any thought process around that? Well, there weren't really much when you look at the bench to kind of really pick from, was there? It was pretty much after a 6-0 win, you wouldn't expect really any changes anyway.
No, I remember saying on the show last week, I thought if anything was going to change, it would be Tomiyasu. he's picked up an injury just putting his dirty washing in the basket, I think. So, I wasn't really surprised with the team, to be fair. I need to go back and watch the show, Liam, because I'm pretty sure I predicted 5-0.
I'm pretty sure you did. I'm pretty sure you did. I was sitting there thinking on the day, someone said 5-0, because I said 4-0, and someone went 5-0, so it must have been you.
Yeah, Wolves to beat Spurs.
Shame you didn't lay a bit of money on it, weren't it, really? you'd have got a nice sum back on that one.
Yeah, but I thought we played quite. I don't mind us not getting tested. If we're smashing teams out of like the water, then that's fine. Don't get me wrong. If you offer me a 5-0 on Saturday, I'm all over that, mate.
Yeah. Again, it's another good solid performance, and it takes us into the Portal game very confident. We've all like. As we're saying, it was good to see Odegaard get back on the scoring sheet. I know we kind of spoke about him during the week. Havertz, he had a brilliant game. And I'm going to go on to him in a minute with Sparksy. But, yeah, there were some really, really positive performances there once again. I know, obviously, Burnley are Burnley, but you still got to go over there and do that. We didn't get complacent. It could have been very easy to get complacent after winning 6-0 West Ham, but I think that early goal just kind of settled us down, and the air was very comfortable from then on. Before I move over to Sparksy quickly, I'll say good evening to Anjay doing. Good evening also to Catherine, also has joined the show, and good evening to Mark as well, who was with us last week. So good evening to everyone. Nice to have you all on supporting the channel. Hopefully Ryan will be back at the helm very soon. Going over to Sparks, Kai Havertz. I thought he had an absolute brilliant game. Now you was at the game on Saturday. What did it look like from the stands?
I mean, from what it looks like from somebody that's actually watches football, it looks like he's the missing link sometimes. He basically links up that play. He's got his back to the defender. He's basically playing balls around the corner. holding the ball up and basically letting other people get it, other players get into the play. And that's his role, you know. At the end of the day, he's essentially a centre forward, and that's what he should be doing. Coming a bit deep, just kind of engaging the centre backs to kind of give more room on the wings. But I think he's one of our best players. I really do, and I think he has been for the last 3 or 4 games. To be honest with you, I still think that maybe the fee's still a little bit much. And I think it was probably a signing that we didn't necessarily need at the time. But I think he's showing his quality. He's just showing his class.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think it was one of them signings, which was could have been deemed as a bit of a luxury signing. But I do agree with you in terms of, I think he has got that ability to kind of offer you something totally different to what anyone else has got. And I thought he was at, when I watched the game back, because I was actually out on Saturday, but when I watched the game back, I thought he was absolutely superb, what I've seen back of him. And hopefully that will kind of continue. And I think he's been pretty kind of consistent over the last batch of games. And I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism because he ain't scoring goals. But
I think it's because of the price tag as well, though. I think it's where it's come from, because of the price tag, because of the things that come along with it. I think it's a bit of unfair criticism. I think there's a few salty Chelsea fans as well that probably didn't want him to go or didn't want him to come to us. But, I mean, he's a bit of a beanpole as well, isn't he? But you don't think he's going to be that strong kind of... It makes himself wide. And, he's a real presence at the right end of the pitch. So... I think he's definitely overlooked. There's a lot of noise that's coming around certain podcasts and stuff like that are actually recognising, actually, maybe we were a bit, you know, hasty with it. So, some of them.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think some really good kind of points raised there. And like with the fifth goal as well, a very good individual solo effort, which he took very well at the end of it. So hopefully that kind of breeds him some more confidence. Obviously, watching on as well, was there any other key performances out there that you thought really stood out on Saturday?
Myself, I thought Ben White was an amazing game. As Abby said, I think he kind of ran the games almost. He dragged everything over to him, and then he was doing the overlapping runs, which he's kind of stopped doing with that high line as well. He doesn't really do that so much. He kind of a bit stemmed, like against Aston Villa, it was a bit more static. But I reckon that he had some kind of injury, some kind of knock, and I think we've said it before, that he seems to be over that. But he was everywhere. He was inverting. He was running down the channels. He was basically stretching the play, making room for Ødegaard, making room for Saka. And he just seems to be everywhere, to be honest with you. So I think it was an outstanding performance from him. Kivior needs a mention as well, because I think he had a solid performance, albeit he didn't have anything really to do defensively. But... I think from his early onset, where he was kind of a bit ropey, a bit rusty, he's kind of put that criticism behind him a little bit. He was better. So, yeah, Emerson's they're putting Kivior had a good game as well. So, I was a little bit worried, actually, because it took so long to get the second goal. We almost scored the first goal too early, if that's even a thing. But we almost scored that too early. But the kind of crowd was getting a bit antsy that we hadn't scored the second goal. And I think it came at the right time, because if it hadn't have come until the second half, there could well have been a little bit of upset maybe in the stands. But other than that, I think it was an amazing performance all round, really.
I think sometimes, though, we've got to realise, right, this is Premier League football, though, isn't it? We've got to realise that we're not just going to go and roll over every team in the first 10, 15 minutes. Like,
I wouldn't say it was an in anticipation of rolling somebody over. It was more like to seal the game, just to kind of get a bit of more control back, because the goal went in so early, and then we were all over Burnley, and the only thing we didn't do again was put the ball in the back of the net, and he's like, oh no, we're here again. And it was kind of that kind of feeling, not a disgruntled kind of, we're not bagging five or six. It was more like, are we going to lose control of this? Because we are so in control of it now, right now. If we don't get the second pretty soon, you know, we could go out of control of it. I think it was more of that, really.
Yeah, I do think this year, though, I think apart from the two games that obviously have really let us down in terms of the West Ham and Fulham games, I think we've been in pretty much in control, haven't we? And I think that's what I love about the Mikel Arteta team as well, is that even though we'll score, we'll set ourselves up, obviously, not to concede. And back in the days, we'd be so open, wouldn't we? Get flying for the second, and then maybe just kind of lose our balance at the back quite a bit, where I feel so much more assured now. And it does help when you've got two quality centre backs like Saliba and Gabriel in that defence. But
we almost change the setup after every goal. It seems a bit weird. It's like, he's literally talking in the ear of whoever's closest to go, right, okay, you're changing to this now. It's a bit weird, because there's no real fixed system as such. It's kind of a fluid system the whole time. And, you know, not much is given to the thing of hold the ball for 5 minutes after a goal. And we seem to be doing that a lot more control, like you say, and just like taking a bit of a sting out of it, not getting the tails up and whatever, and then literally just hold the ball for 5 minutes, let them chase the ball, and then their adrenaline's gone out from, you know, immediately scoring another goal, a goal back at us, and we can go again. So I find that impressive, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go back to Abby on that, because I think what when watching the West Ham game back as well, especially after we scored that first goal, I was so impressed of how we controlled that game. And it was literally like that. We wouldn't, like, literally every pass was crisp and precise. And I just think the last two to three games, we have literally been totally on it. And I think now we're playing quicker football again as such. Like, I felt back in the West Ham, the Fulham, the play was slow. Maybe a little bit slower, but it seems that we picked up the pace of our game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people were contributing that to Havertz, the way Havertz played right at the beginning of the season. They said, a lot of people said that he slowed the play down and all of that. All we know is when we play that quick football, we are on fire. Okay. It's like when we're playing that quick football, we're doing a dot to dot blindfolded, and we're achieving it because we're so freaking good at it. Okay. It doesn't matter where those dots are, we can absolutely do it. Okay. And yeah, it's poetic. We're really fluid. And I don't know what happened in Dubai. I know we keep talking about this mystical, magical holiday or project that they had in Dubai. I don't know what happened there, but I want some of that Kool-Aid. I think I need that to see out the rest of my working life, really, not just the end of the season, please. Thank you very much. It's been very obvious to the eye to see. And we don't need, what's really nice about it, we don't need the likes of Jesus or Zinchenko in the team, because I'm not too sure about you guys, but I was really worried when we lost Jesus. I didn't know what the hell was going to happen. Yes, for Porto tomorrow, I was really hoping for a little bit of rotation there, because I'm like, I care about these guys. I'm worried that they're going to be tired. I mean, I don't know why I'm worried about these players being tired, playing twice a week, but I'm worried about it. But you know, we have to take one game at a time, and you know, our focus is on tomorrow, and God help us at the weekend if anybody else gets injured.
I'm going to go into obviously the Wednesday game and the Saturday game soon, and I think the Saturday game worries me more than the Wednesday game at the moment, just because obviously it's the turnaround, isn't it, from going to Portugal and coming back again. And Saturday's going to be quite a high intensity game for me. I think it's going to be quite a tactical game as well, because there's a little bit of needle there now, isn't there? If we're being frankly honest, there's a little bit of needle being kicking in since last season with Arsenal and Newcastle, and I think I can see that rolling out on Saturday as well, if I'm being totally honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're playing a team that know us very well and have seen us play in various different states. They played us knackered a couple of seasons ago, let's face it. We wanted top four, and we really fucking tried for that, and they outdid us, didn't they? And then we played them again and absolutely them last season, didn't we? Apart from when they came to our place and it was just boring, you know, both of us played two very similar styles. And then this season we were robbed. God damn you, we were robbed. I'm still on that train, by the way. If we lose, by the way, it's all their fault. So it's going to be very interesting. However, I would have said the same about Liverpool. But we blew Liverpool out of the water a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? With how ferocious and terrorizing, our gameplay was. There's a lot of history between Arsenal and Liverpool, and I think we overcame that game through want of will and not through the emotion and mentality. By the emotion. I think every time an Arsenal team faces Liverpool, there's so much history there that we can allow that to overtake it. But it was the want of the world that took us past Liverpool. And, you know, fingers crossed for Newcastle. However, we're not talking about that. Sorry. Off on a tangent there for you.
No, that's cool. That's good. No, I totally agree. I think the Liverpool game, I think that we come out, in my opinion, in the second half, like very slow after we conceded that goal right on the verge of our time, because we'd totally outplayed them in the first half. And an Arsenal team of old would have folded, wouldn't they? Would have folded. But we had a bit of luck, but then their goal was lucky. And for about 65, 70 minutes of that game plan, we were the better team and we totally deserved our win. And I think this is the piece that kind of frustrates me this season. When you look at our performances, and I'll go to you and in a minute on this, George, as well. When you look at our performances against the top teams, we produce in the critical moments. We produce in the critical moment at Manchester United at home. Take the Tottenham game out of it, because I think Declan Rice going off at half-time totally destroyed our game plan that day. Man City was probably the most emotionless performance that I think I've seen us play, but the most draining and tactical game I think I've ever seen over 90 minutes. And we crucified them at the crucial moment again. We did exactly the same to Liverpool this year, but we've also gone away to Liverpool this year again. And everyone talks about Anfield being like the ground where no one's going to be able to go to and do that. And I know we haven't won there since 2012, but we haven't lost there for the last two seasons. So our performances against the top teams are absolutely superb over the last two seasons. And it just frustrates me that little bit that we've picked up 1 point out of six against Fulham. And I just hope that that's not going to kill us at the end of the season. And that's my only concern. But I'm hoping now, with the boys being coming back from the Dubai, whatever happened out there, if it stays on tour, it can whatever happened, it happens. But that's I'm cool. hoping that... We won't have any further slip ups against the smaller teams, because if we have a further slip up against any of the smaller sides, then when you start looking at our fixtures going into April, you still got Wolves away, Brighton away, Spurs away, City, United. There's five hard games there, so we need to go into them games in very good form, and I think we can do that, and I think we can win our next three or four. I think. The Newcastle game's a big, big game now, because it's our first game coming out of Europe, and it'll be interesting how the game goes tomorrow in terms of how we set up on Saturday for me. How do you feel about that, George, with the game on Wednesday and the game on Saturday? Do you see there being changes? Because obviously there's only 3 days between each game.
I agree with you. I'm more worried about Saturday. Well, not worried, but more conscious about Saturday's game, and that's not discrediting Wednesday, tomorrow's game. I just think we'll just have enough. I can see a couple of changes tomorrow. Like I said last week, I thought Jorginho might start tomorrow, but now I'm not so sure because I think they might try and start him on Saturday. And like we've said, we've got players that we can rotate in and out. I know Jesus, Zinchenko, and was it Tomiyasu? They've not travelled, but how we don't know. That's not tactical, do we? Like, there's nothing to. It won't be the first time or the last time that a manager's lied about when a player's available, is it? So, I'm not sure. Obviously, I'm not the physio, so I don't know. But I just think that is like what Abby said. You've got to take one game at a time. But I think, like you said, the high intensity is going to be in that Newcastle game. Like, I think what people forget as well, European games and European teams play to our strengths. Like, you're not very rarely going to get a low block team in the Champions League, are you? Like, I know people can say about Lons and all that, but there was other reasons to that. But yeah, I just think, like you say, since they come back from Dubai, and mate, I wish I went on that trip. I would have come back, been out to sea, mate. That's the way they've been. Yeah, I agree. I just don't think we're going to, well, not going to, because I think everyone can get something against anyone this season. But we've got your mate Fabio Vieira back, so you never know. He might do something tomorrow.
Yeah, he is back tomorrow, interestingly. And obviously, Thomas Partey allegedly is back as well. I use the word allegedly because until I see him on in the team sheet again, I'm not going to get too excited. But he is back on. He is back training. Vieira's back training. Just on that, George, that is two big additions. I think Vieira's a really good. I think he's got better this year to last year. I criticised him quite heavily last year, but I do feel this year that he's come on in games and he has impacted games. And I do feel that he has got the ability there to, firstly, be able to thread a ball through. But also he's got a shot on him as well. And we know that he can be quite composed in quite high risk situations, like the Charity Shield game where he took the winning penalty. So I do think there's quite a positive outlook with Vieira being back. Do you see these two guys impacting the squad over the next month?
It all depends, like with fitness, because like I said last week, we need as many players fit as possible to go into that run. Like, whether we're playing in Champions League, then the league and all that. Like, if Vieira does feature tomorrow, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he used to play for Porto, didn't he? Might want to prove a bit of a point. I don't think he'll get loads of minutes because of how long he's been out. But
yeah,
going forward, like, me personally, if, big word, if, Thomas Partey is fit, I wouldn't risk him until the Man City game. That's just, like, I'd bring him on, like, for the odd few minutes, but I just think that Man City away game could be where you could get the best out of Partey. I'd like to say, like, you've got Tomiyasu. If you get Tomiyasu, Zinchenko, and I know some of our thoughts on Zinchenko, but He's still experienced, isn't he? And then Jesus, you've still got Platt, Smith Rowe. Like, we've got these players that they can still do a job. So they're going to... I know it sounds mad. We didn't buy anyone in January, but I feel like we're in a better position than we was last January.
No, yeah, you definitely got some good points there. We are definitely in a better position than we was last January. But I think it is a blow that Jesus potentially is not going to be fit tomorrow, because I think his Champions League record, as I think we spoke about on the last show, just is totally chalk and cheese to his Premier League record. And I think that in the Champions League, he steps up. And I think that me personally, I wouldn't mind seeing, and I'm going to throw this one at you, Sparksy, I wouldn't mind seeing the rotation where the Trossard plays the Premier League games and Jesus plays the Champions League games and try and keep them both fresh. Because it's going to be really important, isn't it, if we do progress past Porto, that the more games are going to come thick and fast, especially with the back end of March when we play Man City and definitely heading into April, where the games will literally be every 3 days.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can throw Havertz in there as well. So you can rotate him in there as well and use Smith Rowe as the left eight. So I think that could be an option as well. Yeah, certainly we don't want every player playing 9 minutes of the whole game. I quite like the whole premise of playing 20 minutes ready in preparation for the next game anyway. So it's always nice just to get them off, keep them a bit fresh. And even if you're switching it the next game and they've played 70 minutes and they've had a 20-minute break, And the next game, they're on for the last 20 minutes. You know, I quite like that kind of premise as well. So it just keeps things fresh. I mean, I can't believe we're actually talking about injuries because we don't have any, apparently. You know, everybody in the media says we don't have any injuries. You know, there's whole segments on Match of the Day and sort of stuff like that on Liverpool's injuries. Nothing said about Arsenal injuries. We must not have any. Yeah, it's a bit bizarre, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, they seem to think that that Liverpool's squad depth is better, but the injury crisis is going to affect them more than it affects us. I don't quite know how that works, but there you go. Yeah. So, but Partey's a big plus if you can get him back in. I'd try and get him 20 minutes in if he's available to in fitness. Give him 20 minutes tomorrow, and you know, I'd love to see him against Newcastle, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I'm sitting there, and it's interesting kind of views from both yourself and George in terms of how we're going to kind of manage Thomas Partey. We are pretty much expecting at the moment, aren't we, that he potentially he might go at the end of the season. But as you both say, like, he's such a massive important part of this team when he is playing and the way we play. Do you feel, so I was thinking maybe the Sheffield United game might be the game where if he does come on, maybe against Porto, maybe against Newcastle, there's another 9 days after that, Sparks. Do you think that might be a more realistic game that he potentially could come in?
It probably is, but 9 days is a long time with Thomas Partey. you know, who knows? He might have another setback in that time. You want to get him on the field as quickly as possible and let him do the do and, you know, let him see it out after that game.
Coming back over. No. It's totally. I want to see him in the team. I want to get him in that. I want to get him in that midfield. Do you know what I mean? But like, I'm also a bit conscious at the moment. We've just scored 11 goals in two games, and we've had like Havertz, Rice, and Odegaard. And is there a click there now? Do you know what I mean? So I think it does give us a little bit of food for thought. But with the games coming every 3 days, we need players like Thomas Partey to be not sitting on the bench going, oh, we'll give him 15, 20 minutes. He needs to be getting rotated in and out of that team to kind of freshen the other players up as well. So hopefully we can get him onto that pitch quite soon. But like George said, like obviously the Manchester City game's the game where we need him fully fit, don't we? We need him in that team for that game because go on.
Just let you know, Haaland's just scored.
Oh, cheers for the great news. That was expected, wasn't it? But I do think that obviously with the games coming up, I think there's going to be a lot of rotation in terms of how we play that midfield. And it's just about keeping it fresh.
It's also just like, I don't know, as an Arsenal supporter for the past at least 10 years, it's like we never get that Christmas present that we all really want. Like, I don't know about you guys, but once upon a time, I really wanted this electric guitar for Christmas. and my parents bought me an acoustic, which was nice. I mean, thank you very much. It was great. I really liked that. But I really wanted the electric guitar. And like Thomas Partey is like our electric guitar. All I want to see is Rice, Udegaard, and Partey. And that's what, maybe once, maybe twice. I tell you what, three times. If I see that three times this season, I'll do something really extravagant or naked. Oh, well.
you're totally bang on though. It's literally
safe anyway.
Pun?
I think I'm safe, aren't I? Well, I'm still gonna like it, but I'm safe. Yeah.
Well, what happened, wasn't it?
But you totally want it to happen, don't you? You want to see them three players play at least 5 to 10 games with each other and see what they could do. Mm. Because I look at the rest of the Premier League midfields, and I look at even the top team midfields. I look at Liverpool's midfield. Mate, you put Partey, Rice and Odegaard against them, we batter them. Man City is always more of a tactical battle, but do you know what? We've never been at a level until we are now, Abby, that I'm quite confident if we go to Man City with that three-man midfield, with our attack, with our defence, I think we can go there and win.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, I don't think Havertz was... I don't think the plan was actually to play Rice and Partey together. But this is my... Well, I'm getting into Arteta's brain, OK? I think Partey and Rice were to... Partey was covered for Rice. Rice was covered for Partey. And we're easing them in. Like, he knows what Partey's like. He's, you know, made of glass and biscuits or... So, yes, I think that was it. And then to, like, transform Havertz into this hybrid attacking midfield, like, Megatron kind of character within the Arsenal team. But we've not had any cover for Rice, apart from Hlahilor, you know, which has been a massive surprise. So thank you, Italy, for that one.
Yeah, he's done well, hasn't he, when he's come in and... He's had some really big games, isn't he? Like when you start looking at the Liverpool game and Newcastle got away last year, I thought he was sensational as well. He's done really well for us. But like you say, I think the Havertz, I don't think none of us really understand where Arteta really actually, where he wants him and how he wants to play him. Because I do think that when we go into the summer, we will go out and buy that other centre midfielder. I do think Declan Rice will play in that number eight role. And I can't see anyone else that are playing that role apart from Declan Rice, for me, and totally on the show. Because when you start looking at Declan Rice's ability, like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't realise. I thought Declan Rice was an incredible player. Like, for me, he was always the first player that I wanted us to buy. But even I'm surprised, like, in terms of his assists, he's taking the corners, he's taking the free kicks. He's scoring like absolute sensational goals. You look at the one at Chelsea, you look at the one at West Ham, in big moments as well. And the Man United, Luton, I don't think we expected exactly that from Declan Rice. And I think
he takes penalties soon.
Yeah, he could. I'm not sure. He could take
penalties. He'll just do everything.
Yeah.
He'll just do everything. Yeah. He'll be like Jorginho, that kind of figure at Chelsea, but a damn sight better.
He's incredible, isn't he? So for me, I don't know about you, Abby. I just see him like moving forwards once we get that Partey back or get that midfielder back. Surely he goes into the number eight role.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see what Arteta is trying to do at the moment. He's revolutionarized. I can't say the word, by the way. There's a few words I can't say, and that's one of them. But he's revolutionarizing that kind of six and eight role. So I do agree. I love him as a six. I love when I see Gabriel and Saliba and Rice. But you saw that a lot at Burnley. You saw how when Rice dropped back, we had this kind of like back three thing, but we knew what Rice was going to do. He was going to push up and kind of join the attack into defence. I love what Rice does bombing forward. I wish he would release the ball a little bit sooner sometimes. But hey, listen, first season syndrome, isn't it? Okay, so I'm not going to, I won't pick holes in it. I'm just really interested to know with what some of the, people on X are saying about the next midfielder that we're going to get. Is it the case that we're going to have a dedicated six? and then a dedicated eight, or this hybrid, like, okay, so you're an eight right now in this 5 minutes of play. However, you're also so equipped that you can also drop back and be the six, and I can then go and be the eight. Can you see how you know, how much diversity we would have in that team by doing that? And that is such an Arteta trait, isn't it? You know, at least those two players being able to play multiple positions at an extremely high standard. And I see Rice as he plays that eight and that six role at a very high standard. People ain't getting past him. I mean, his freaking legs are longer than the room I'm in, albeit it's not a very big room, but it's still longer than his legs. Okay, so he's stopping everything.
No, yeah, he is. And I think
I still think the not releasing the ball quick enough, as you say there, I think that's a ploy. Every time he does that, you see the opposition slightly pressing that little bit.
Getting sucked in.
Getting sucked in, and then he releases the ball. But there's not many players that are actually that good a quality to wait for that before they release it. So they're releasing it beforehand, mostly like Jorginho does. He'll be releasing the ball, he'll have spotted the pass, and he'll play it through. He won't be waiting for a press and then play it. But
Absolutely. Yeah, and what the hell do I know? I mean, I had an 8-game semi-professional run and then tore my ACL. So that's all I know with football. However, I hear that the David Raya chat as well. You know, when people are like, release the ball, kick the ball. And you can see him, he's waiting for that player just to come a little bit closer.
He's watching one player to move a certain way and then he goes. Crazy.
Yeah, and I think it's looking again. Maybe that's why we're seeing the efforts pay off a lot more now. Because at the start of the season, we were doing it a lot more, but it was a little bit clunky, wasn't it? It was a little us as fans were like, "What are they doing? We were playing so fluid and quickly last season," and it's like, "Oh." And now the past month, they're probably doing the same thing, but it's looking a lot sweeter. Their timing is a lot better.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of sink into the play, but I think it's quite interesting when you said, and I think Sparksy kind of drove in it earlier on in terms of the interchange, and I can definitely see, like, whoever comes in next, there'll be a lot of interchange into that 6-8 role. And could you imagine if you had two players who could play at Declan Rice's level and you both interchanged it? It'd be absolutely mad, wouldn't it? So that next signing in that midfield is going to be absolute massive for the next 5 years.
It's probably, I know we need a striker and we need cover for Saka. Well, not cover for Saka, but we competition, whatever you want it. We need something to add to that front line. But I think that midfield, for me, is the most important part in there. It's our building block. It's part of our spine. And we've got a good chunk of our spine. But it's that next step in midfield for me. Because I feel like every one of those players along that front line, including Havertz as well when he plays, they've got a good... we're scoring goals, we are. But we haven't got anybody at the moment to replace that party.
I'll tell you the interesting thing. I'm going to go to George on this. I know there's been a lot of talk around Sambi De Conga this week in terms of his performances at Luton. Now, this was a player that he tried to play as a six, didn't he? But we all thought he was probably more of an eight. But watching his performance against Manchester United, I thought he was absolutely superb. A totally different player to what we kind of see. With potentially Elneny leaving and maybe Partey leaving, would you bring De Conga back into the squad?
There is a lot of difference playing for Luton and Arsenal.
It's harder.
you got to be given minutes to play first and foremost, didn't you?
Yeah,
but then is he going to get those minutes even if he comes back to Arsenal, because he'd be fourth choice?
I'm just raising a question in terms of if we're going to go out and buy another centre midfielder for say 60-70 million, which I think we probably will. If we lose two centre midfielders, which I think we will, because we will lose Elneny, we will lose Partey, Could we bring a centre midfielder in and then he'd fill the other position so we wouldn't be spending in that area?
Yeah, maybe. Like, with me, I'm torn because if I'm not saying they will, but if Luton offered me 30 million plus, yeah, I would get my hand off. But before that, I would he would replace probably Elmeny for me. I do think we buy a midfielder. I think that's pretty obvious. It's one of those things. It's like the Maitland Niles thing from the other year when we got offered all that money for Maitland Niles and didn't take it. That's a big mistake. But if someone offers you 30 million for Sambi Lukenga, surely you've got.
Do you think we can get 30 million for him?
No, but in this market,
what do you think we can get for him?
Probably 20 million, between 20 and 25.
I think 20 million would be decent. I think that I'd take 20 million personally.
Depends, if Luton stay up, I'm not saying no money, but there'll be other teams that see what he can do, maybe a Palace or someone. I think he was on loan there before, wasn't he? I wouldn't rule it out, say, oh, yeah, come back. But he wouldn't be unfortunately for him, he's nowhere near, I wouldn't even say he's near the levels of, say, Jorginho. So, and he ain't no number six, whatever. I don't think he is. I've always thought he was a number eight. It sounds like I really don't like him, and it's not that I do, but I just, is he at the level for where, for say a first or a second backup for the way where we're going? I don't know. But he played well against Man United, and if Elmeny's leaving, which you think he will, you probably thought he would be, but I suppose he just slots into there, and it would save the club having to fork out money there, because that's always been my worry. Like I said, Julian, if God forbid the main man gets an injury or suspension, we all know how much we rely on Thomas Partey, how reliable he is. And then you're just down to Jorginho and Elmeny again. So that's why I think they need to buy someone. But I don't know what Arteta does, mate. He'll probably, knowing him, he could go and buy two. So you just don't know, do you? But with Lukenga, if they offer big money if someone offers big money for him, I think Klopp coming out saying what he said today might have added a few million to it. So
Klopp's an idiot, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
He's just an idiot.
Oh, it was definitely a little method behind his madness, yeah, there, weren't absolutely. He was trying to put a slight dig in with that one.
Yeah.
I think he's a secret Arsenal supporter. When he bought Chamberlain for the amount that he did, and now he's saying that about Lukonga, he's like, give him a few extra million.
Hopefully they pay 40 million for him then.
I thought it was more a dig that we've loaned him out, and it's more like he can't play against us, so we've got a fair advantage.
I think there's some interesting points. I think there's some interesting points there, George. My personal opinion is that I think he stunk the place out a little bit, but near the end of his time at Arsenal, Lukonga, didn't he, in terms of his performances. And I think personally, if we can get the money for him, then we cash in. I was just quite kind of mindful that if we did get rid of Elneny, that potentially would we sit there and think, we could bring him back into the squad as a squad player. But I don't think that does his career any good either, considering he's banned for Luton. So I think potentially he will go. I think 20 million, I don't think you could grumble at 20 million. For him, I think we got 15 to 20 million for him. I'll be more than happy.
I just look at
pay for him seven.
I just look at the transfer market, and there's some players that go for very silly money. So, I've said this for a while. It's time Arsenal start doing that for me.
Yeah, I think we're quite lucky that he's performing at Luton, and I think that pushes his valuation back up. I think if we was talking at the start of the season. we would be sitting there going, are we lucky to get 5 million for him? Do you know what I mean? Like Tavares as well.
I mean, apparently it was 17 million that we bought him for. So,
well, we can't make our money back. Yeah. That'd be first port call, wouldn't it?
Hugely. And I think he actually benefits from playing not necessarily a team lower down in the table. I was about to say Crystal Palace, but they're also lower down in the table, aren't they? But like that middling table where the older he gets, the more you have to rely on him a little bit more. And I think maybe Arsenal, we needed to rely on him and he wasn't mature enough to do that for us at that time. And he's gone to Luton and he's been able to play along someone like Ross Barkley with all that experience. And learn from him, but then also start to take the reins a little bit. And I expect him next season to play for that more mid-table kind of team and start to drag them up and get a little bit better. But I love the guy, but I don't see him playing for a top-table team in the Premier League, at least for the next 5 years. So, not yet.
See you later then.
Yeah. So yeah. Fine. I know you're good. Shame about your comments on that old documentary, eh?
Gonna go over to the Porto game now. I'm gonna start with you on the Sparks on this one. So Porto tomorrow night, 8 PM. Champions League is back. The famous tune is back. How confident are you, sir? In terms of tomorrow going to Porto and getting a result and doing a professional job out there.
Well, we spoke about it on the other show, and I still think the same thing. I still think it needs to be, at the very worst, a draw, maybe a 2-1 victory, basically. So we need to at least draw, hopefully grab a win, and then bring it back to the Emirates and finish the job off. I expect Jorginho to play that game. I really do. I think he just needs to have that bit of control in the midfield. And I think he'll probably do that with Rice and Ødegaard in the midfield. Yeah. The one that's up in the air for me is still the striker position, whether he goes with Trossard or whether he goes with Havertz up top. I don't think he'll go with Martinelli up top again. I don't know.
I think there is a good option tomorrow night to maybe rest Trossard. I think Trossard's going to be massive on Saturday against Newcastle. Yeah. And if Jesus is not fit, I think there is an option where we could go with Havertz up top and try and hold up the play quite a bit more. I think he'll do that better than Trossard tomorrow night. So it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if we did see that if Jorginho starts.
I think that's again, like George said, they don't do the low block. So basically, they're going to come to us. Although they're not going to go all guns blazing, are they? You know, it's they're going to be cautious anyway. But you know, he's going to have his back to the centre backs and basically just try and draw them in, like he does, like he has been doing for the last 5 or 6 games, really. So I think it's probably a perfect game for him, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Going over to you, Abby, on this one. What's your kind of thoughts in terms of the team?
Well, do you know what? For once, it's actually nice going into a game in Europe where I know we're going to play our strongest side. I'm not entirely sure what that is right now because we have... like multiple players. This is weird. Like, yeah. To be honest, I don't care who he plays. So I trust Arteta to play his strongest side. And then, I trust him. So whether it's Trossard or Havertz, I'd like to see the same. At the minute, I'd like to see the same team as what I saw at the weekend. Because I'm not thinking about that Newcastle game. That's not even happening, by the way. It's just Porto. It's just game by game. However, if I saw Havertz up top, I would. So as far as Porto go, I'm going to do this typical Arsenal thing. And normally I'm the ever optimist. I'm a very positive Arsenal supporter. I mean, there are a couple of us out there and I'm one of them. But I'm going to say, We got big Pepe and we got little Pepe in the Porto side. And I'm going to keep an eye out on big Pepe, old Pepe in defence and stuff, because he's going to have a bit of knowledge about him and stuff on how to handle the likes of Martinelli and all of that. And that's all I've got to say about Porto.
It reminds me a little bit when we went out to Seville with Ramos, don't it? Like a little bit. Yes. It kind of reminds me of that. Kind of game. I'm pretty confident that we'll pull off a Seville kind of performance tomorrow. I thought I think Jesus is a blow tomorrow personally, because I think he was quite key to that Seville win. But I just think they're going to struggle with our pace. And when we do get Martinelli and Saka in them areas, like you said, we're not used to going away in Europe for quite a few number of years with our strongest team, where we go away tomorrow night with our strongest team. And I think we take the game to them. I think we take the game to them. I don't think we know any other way.
And you know what the weirdest thing is? I think, the last time that we passed the knockout stages, rounds of 16, we beat Porto. That was the last time we got to the quarterfinals. It was actually Porto that we actually beat back in, I can't remember the year or anything like that. So technically, the football gods are shining on us, going, repeat, what is going to happen?
well, we ain't got a Lionel Messi this time. We ain't got a Müller this time. So that we're finally going to get out of a second round of a Champions League for the first time.
And then face Bayern and beat Harry Kane. Go on.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Wouldn't mind knockout. I'd rather they just get knocked out, though, against Lazio, and that's even better. Yeah. That's so good. That would be even better. George, are you confident about tomorrow night, mate? Are you thinking we can go out there and get the win?
Yeah, I'm not even worried about Pepe, mate. Saka's going to, he's going to have nightmares about Saka and Martinelli. How old is he now? About 68, Pepe?
78, last count, yeah.
I'm not. I've watched Porto recently, and then their fullbacks ain't the greatest. So I think Saka and Martinelli will do the job. I agree with Sparks. I'd like to see probably Jorginho and then play Kai through the middle. We all know he likes a Champions League goal, doesn't he? I'm not going to say, oh, we're going to absolutely obliterate them at 4-5-1, but I think what you see with Arteta and us, we do professional jobs now, so I can see it getting a couple of goals being clinical, 3-1, something like that. I was probably more worried when we played Lons than when now we're going away to Porto.
Yeah, I tell you, do you know what I think tomorrow night, right? Don't get me wrong, I'd always love to see us batter anyone, but I'd equally love a 2-0 win tomorrow night, just a professional, top-class performance where it just proves to everyone in the Champions League and in Europe that Arsenal can go away from home and they'll be calm, collective, and hit the teams when they need to.
Hoping Saka has a good game, but I'm just hoping Rio don't ask for an interview after.
Yeah, well, he was on the plane today, weren't he? Our mate Rio, and he's still standing by his words that Saka's not world class yet. But in terms of obviously whether Saka's world class or not, these are the kind of games, isn't they, George, that Saka will be determined on, and this is his stage to obviously prove to people like Rio Ferdinand that he can do it on his stage.
Yeah, I agree. The world-class players do it on the best stage of them all, don't they? I don't like Rio Ferdinand. I don't think I've made that feeling very quiet online. But I understand where he does come from a bit. I'd like to see when we go far in the Champions League this season, Saka to do it on the best stage of them all. I just think this is the sort of time when you'll see players like Saka, Odegaard. I'd probably say Saka and Odegaard more than Saka and Martinelli actually turn it on the best stage of them all. And I just going back to Bayern Munich, I do agree. I'd rather just see them crash out. Like, that's what happens when you turn Bayern Munich into Tottenham, don't you? Like, it's, you take Eric Dier there and all goes wrong. But I can't even see him beating Lazio, mate, the way they're playing. They're that bad, they want Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, it's not looking too good over there, is it? It's all looking quite dire, if we're being totally honest with you. Sorry for the pun.
Yeah. Don't apologise for that pun. I literally said that when he signed. I literally used that on the internet. That is you're just sending your club away to die.
Oh, God, yeah.
Jesus. I mean, what were they thinking? Is it kind of thing from Harry Kane that's gone, bring him over, he's a top bloke, he's gonna show you the way.
I think they switched Best Bit Reels on YouTube, didn't they?
Good for the dressing.
They saw his Best Bit Reels on YouTube, didn't they?
I mean, there's been criticism of our standards and criticism of players, and then that happens. It's just like, yeah. Are you serious?
Harry was feeling lonely, wasn't he?
Well, that's all it can be, right? Literally all it can be.
Oh, friend, give me my friend.
Yeah, we don't. You don't have any English players, so bring Dier over.
It's in the name, for God's sake.
Dier by name, Dier by nature.
Dier by nature.
It's all enjoyable, though, and that's all I can say. It's all enjoyable.
Love it.
The only thing he's actually remembered for is running up into a stand and punching somebody next to his brother. Jesus Christ.
The best
Harry
one I heard.
The
best one I heard this week was Bayern Hotspurs. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was absolutely brilliant. But yeah, like, as we go into tomorrow night, it is like an important game for us. And I actually think I agree with what kind of George says, and how much I hate to say it, I probably kind of do agree. I do get where Rio Ferdinand's coming from in terms of, I think he just wants to see him on the next stage, on the next step. Can he do it in the big games now against the likes of the big names, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, your Manchester City's in the, if you get them. I think that's what he's probably trying to say. And, we know that he's got the ability to do it, and we know that we've got the team now that will obviously take any team all the way in terms of, it won't be easy to play Arsenal, will it, George?
No, I think it's basically, and don't jump on me, I think he's just trying to say, would you put Saka on the same sort of world-class level as, say, someone like an Mbappe or a Messi in these prior, because they're world-class players. Like say, oh, you don't know what you're on about being an Arsenal fan. Like, but I wouldn't put Saka on that level yet. I'm not saying he isn't, but if he's doing it against the best teams in the world consistently, then no one can argue with that, really.
I agree with that, but we're not talking Ballon d'Or levels. We're talking about world class, right? There's a slight difference. And I think that's what he's looking for, is, because it's not a Man United player, he's looking for a Ballon d'Or winner.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
Rather than a world-class player. And that's where I think he's got confused amongst himself. And yeah. I'll tell you something as well, you know, even if he won the Champions League, he'd move the goalpost to somewhere else and basically take the acclaim away from him. So,
yeah,
it's just sour. He's a London United fan. And
well, they all
just
were.
He just, yeah, he's a West Ham fan, really, isn't he? He's not a West, he's not really a United fan, he's a West Ham fan.
Yeah, I think, like a lot of things, he and a lot of pundits out there, they let their own biases get involved. Yeah. This is why I get so mad at the lack of punditry people out there, unfortunately. And we shouldn't allow our own biases, however. I'm going to allow my bias to come into play here, because I've seen Saka. I've been watching him since he stepped onto that field as left back. And we've all seen him grow. We've all seen him pretty much drag his team, apologise for his team when there's been world stars amongst that team and then do what he does now. He has, moments where he's freaking knackered and can you blame the kid? I can't even imagine. But anyway, and now he's pulled himself back up again and he's scoring. And do you know what the beautiful thing about Saka at the moment is? His celebrations for his goals over these past couple of games. He's starting to get that little bit of like, a little bit of ice, that chilliness to him now. Mm-hmm. Instead of like that, and that is just like scored again and what?
Yeah.
That's that is why, yeah, right, that I think we've lacked that striker over the last, probably just since Van Persie, if I'm being totally honest, in terms of that striker who has that absolute arrogance to do that kind of stuff. But as you said, I've not really thought about it, but Saka has been doing that, hasn't he? Like that goal against West Ham, pretty much he did that. And is he now getting to that confidence level where he knows his ability? And I did sit there and think, when he scored that goal against West Ham, I don't think that goal was spoken about enough after the game, because that was clinical. That was clinical, because he made it out. He was going to bury it into the other corner the way he stood himself to obviously hit that shot. And then he just literally bullied it into the near post. And it wasn't spoken about enough. And he's got that ability to score them goals. And the more he keeps scoring them, I think the more we'll start hearing the conversation that he'll move to the world-class stage in terms of the punditry. But I totally do agree as well. It doesn't matter if you've got a Jamie Carragher, a Gary Neville, or a Rio Ferdinand. They're always going to move the goalposts.
I think Keon thinks he's ace anyway, so that's fine.
So what was you say, George?
With the Saka goal, like, people might disagree with me, but if that was Haaland, De Bruyne or Salah, like, there would have been, like, actual hour documentaries on every channel about how amazing the goal was.
And yeah, Tony.
We're hated. Like, for me, Saka could win the Champions League, the Premier League, the Golden Boot, the Ballon d'Or, and they'd still say something negative, so...
Hey, listen, it's the curse of being Arsenal, isn't it? And that's why we love it. Let them underestimate us, because I think that actually goes in our favour sometimes. I mean, look at Man United and the big upness, which is not a word, but the big upness that they've given to them and how far they fall. And we just keep flying under the radar.
It's all mental mind games at the end, isn't it? It's all
it's awful. I hate it.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's all mental mind games. Just a question for you, Sparks, from BX Gunner. Will Saka, Rice and White be Arsenal's England representatives this summer? Interesting one on Ben White. I'm not so sure.
He should be.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, he should be, but he won't.
No, Southgate don't like him.
Southgate's an idiot, to be honest.
But we're probably talking about the most informed England defender at the moment, ain't we, in Ben White?
Well, he even came out and said that he was picking up informed players and then picks non-informed players. It just
like Jordan Henson.
Just baffling. Shouldn't have a job, or shouldn't have that job, in my opinion.
No, I agree.
That's
I need to leave the room because I agree.
Huh?
I said I need to leave the room because I agree wholeheartedly. I just can't stand him.
He's another one that lets his bias control him. Is he a yes man from the FA? I don't know what it is.
But it's all of it. It's bias. And it's the fact that
he has no balls. He has no scruples. He's got nothing about him on a touchline. Waistcoat, I want to
burn it.
And just take the fucking waistcoat off. You don't need a waistcoat.
Are you not wearing your shirt? What is the waistcoat doing for you?
Doing absolutely nothing. I don't know who he's trying to mimic, but whoever it is has probably got better qualities as a manager than he has. So I don't know. I've been going all night, so stage on that one.
I think we'll definitely see, obviously, Rice and Saka are obviously defos. I think Ramsdale will still get in. if I'm being totally honest, even though he's threatening him that he might not get
Maguire
in.
Maguire will still get in, mate.
Even though he plays Maguire and he brings...
No one's getting over Pickford anyway, are they? So Pickford's his boy.
Yeah, no one's getting him in front of him anyway, are they, till Southgate goes. But,
they're going to pick Ramsdale because Nick Pope's injured anyway. And, I have not watched... The last time I watched England was when Kane missed the penalty and I laughed. but I was like... Because he doesn't pick informed players like Henderson, Maguire, Phillips. You've got Ben White, who's been probably one of the best right backs for a while, and he...
What is picking Phillips about? What is that? Can somebody explain that to me, please? Anybody explain that to me? Why Phillips? What does Phillips do that we don't see?
It's imagination, isn't it? Because I mean, Gareth Southgate has got very limited imagination from what he should. It's almost like he's gone on to FIFA and he's gone, this is what they I should play with in my FIFA game, so I will play this in my international game.
Yeah, I agree with that, but Phillips ain't even that good on FIFA.
For me as well, if you're shit or if you're mediocre, right, don't get an out there haircut. don't make it more obvious that you're shit. Just do something normal. Just blend in. Don't beat yourself out there and then get yourself sent off for some... What were you trying to do?
As a matter of fact, we know that, don't we?
Jesus Christ. You just basically committed suicide on the football field.
So you're not a fan of the cornrows, I take it.
Say again.
You're not a fan of the cornrows, Foxy, no?
I think if you're good, you make a show of yourself.
Yeah.
If you're average, you stay in the mill. You stay run of the mill until you're out of the average stakes, because you don't necessarily want to be noticed for being average.
No,
you
want
to be noticed for being good. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you get yourself to this level, and then you can do whatever wacky haircut you want.
I'm looking at all our haircuts right now, by the way. Right, who's got the
most wacky haircut? Mine is just average.
But you got that silver box thing going on, haven't you? So is that average.
I'm going for the microphone look.
I can't really judge.
I wonder how the hell we end up with talking about hairdos out of Gareth Southgate. That just shows you how boring Gareth Southgate is. We're on to hairdos now.
Calvin Phillips, it was his fault.
Yeah. I'm blaming BX Gunner. Ask me England questions. No England questions.
I'm waiting for Sparks to audio describe Calvin Phillips' haircut for me. That's what.
it's like plait dreads.
Cornrows.
So it's basically it's like plaits going across his head.
Oh, wow.
Very tightly.
Yeah. What we can say is that he's had an absolute stinker at West Ham so far, though. I know that much.
He had a stinker in the hairdressers and he had a stinker at West Ham.
He's not got much going on for him at the moment, has he? he was still in England midfield in the summer. He'll still be playing in that England midfield in the summer.
He'll still get picked. Number one.
I'm going to wind us back in because I don't know why we're going out in this direction, honestly. Gareth Southgate, absolutely not. So I'm going to come
the leader.
It's destroyed the show, mate. Everyone's gone now. Everyone's gone.
Complete tangent.
I'm going to obviously get your score predictions as we come to near to the end of the show. So I'm going to go to you first. Abby, what are you going for tomorrow?
I am not going to break a tradition at the moment. I'm going to say 1-0 to the Arsenal because that's it. Now I'm jinxed for it. Okay, I don't mean it, but 1-0 to the Arsenal, please. Thank you.
It'll be a corner then. If it's not 1-0 to the Arsenal.
1-0 to the Arsenal. And it's going to be Gabriel Magalhães, header, screamer, really boring, and that's it, whatever.
No what bother. A player. Just got some score predictions in already here. We've got Amy, she's saying 2-1 to the Arsenal. We've got BX Gunner saying 3-1 to the Arsenal. Emerson's going for a 1-1. Over to Sparksy, what are you going for?
I think I'll go for a 2-1 win. Yeah, Havertz and Saka, the goal scorers. But yeah, I think we're just doing enough. I think we do just enough to get the points. I prefer it if it was an Ajax style performance, but yeah, that'll do me as well.
Brilliant. Well, that'd be another positive result. George, over to you. You've been confident. Ange has gone for a draw as well tomorrow. So that's two draws.
I'd be disappointed with a draw. I'm going to go 3-1. Saka, Martinelli and Declan Rice.
That's cool. I'm going to be a bit cheeky and go for a 2-0. I don't know why I am, because I expect us to concede at some point. But do you know what? I'm going to go for a professional Arsenal performance here. 2-0. I think we're going to pick them off. And goal scorers, I'm going to go Martinelli. And I'm going to go Havertz as well. But it wouldn't surprise me if we see a big Gabriel goal as well. So
no, it wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah. Ethan,
obviously, my 1-0 to the Arsenal, that obviously classifies as a 5-0 to the Arsenal as well, because I predicted 1-0, so we've beaten 5-0 and 6-0 to West Ham. And
no, you've got to predict a 5-0. If you want a 5-0, you've got to predict a 5-0.
I'm not bringing the dog.
That's not how it works. It's just shit rolls.
Didn't even say it.
Yeah. If you want a 5-0, there's no qualifying criteria to get 2 results.
I never want the 5-0. It just happens.
I mean, worse things happen. Yeah, so long as it's not 5-0 the other way, I'm all right.
Yeah, you can imagine the show on Thursday after that, couldn't you? Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm not here on Thursday if that happens.
Yeah. I live by the sea. I'll probably be in it.
Do you know what though? Right, I think we will be all right tomorrow. As I said, my more the worry is Newcastle Saturday. Us turning that round, and I think if we can get out of these next two games with the two positive results, we've got 9 days after that to kind of just recover. Obviously, take our time and all that before we go into the Sheffield United game. So I'm hoping that we can get out this next two fixtures, and then the games start easing up for us for a while, because then we go, as I said, we look at 9 days Sheffield United. We then play Brentford on the Saturday, and then potentially we might not have a game then. Yeah, we might not have a game till Man City after that if Chelsea beat Leeds.
Yeah.
So it's going to... Oh, a big... Don't tell me Ipswich are turning it around. Have they turned it around? Yeah, they must have turned it around. They're 4-3. They were 3-1 down, weren't they, Stefan?
No, they were winning 3-1.
Oh, well, they were. Did they win 3? Did they? Who's won? I guess they won 4-3 at Switch then.
I don't know, because it was 3-2 last time.
This is what we all want. This is what we all want, Anna. We definitely want Arsenal to win that. No, we don't want that. Actually, no, we don't want that.
No,
we don't want that. I've read that all wrong now. I've read that all wrong. Yeah, we want Arsenal to win the Champions League, but we want Arsenal to win the Premier League as well.
why do we want Liverpool to win the Premier League exactly?
We don't want them. We don't want them at all.
I think you're a Liverpool fan.
I was leaning towards that, but the Liverpool fans are intolerable, so I'd prefer City to win it now.
Yeah, but if we win the Champions League, it does exceed it. Actually, one last question, guys. If you had the choice now.
Oh, no.
Don't make me do
Premier League or Champions League.
Oh, that one. Oh, shoot. Okay, I'm going to go. Premier League. I'm going to say that. Oh, God, I was nearly sick in my mouth then when I just said it as well. I don't know. It's on home soil, and I... Yeah, that's it. I don't feel like I'm at work and I'm answering a question in my supervision.
So which one are you going for?
Manager.
She's going for the Premier League.
Premier League, that's it. Don't ask me any questions, full stop. Thank you.
George, yourself. You can't be greedy.
Why not?
You can't. On this occasion, you can't be greedy.
I'd probably go Champions League because we've won the Premier League times before, so we ain't done Champions League.
I agree with Mr. Tom. Lucky. Oh, he's gone. Oh, he's back. He's back. So he's going. He's going champion. Oh, no, he's gone. No, he's back again.
See, okay.
Yeah,
it's and Sparksy, isn't it?
And Sparksy, imagine winning that first Champions League.
I'd have to go with the Champions League. I'd have to go with the Champions League. I'm afraid. Yeah.
I think I've got. Do you know what? Yeah, I'm like you. It's like pulling my teeth out asking this question.
Yeah, I want both, obviously. And I'm happy with either, but having to choose which one is very, very difficult.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? Like last season when Man City beat Inter, I was just like, well, that was shit. It was a shit final. It was just them. It was just Inter. Like, of course they won it. It didn't mean anything to me, so I'm not a Man City fan. I can say that to everybody. But even in like years gone by where I saw like some teams play some epic Champions League finals and stuff, I was still like, oh God, yeah, they won that.
Yeah,
unless we're beating Real Madrid, even if we beat Man City in the final, I think people would just be like, well, you know, a bit of an easy, they had Porto. Yeah, Bayern with Harry Kane, and that was about it, really. Yeah, of course
they're always going to do that, aren't they? They still say Arteta's FA Cup victory was lucky, even though we didn't see a Man City in it.
We get Barcelona in the semis, won't we? And they'd be like, well, they ain't got Lionel Messi.
Yeah. Three players sent off before half time for no reason.
Yeah.
This is a big one. This is the big one. Chelsea wouldn't have anyone to banter no more about Champions League. And do you know what, right? It does stick at me a little bit that they even try it. We're the biggest club in London because we won the Champions League. I'm going for the Champions League. I want to win the Champions League. I want to win the Champions League. I think, do you know, I actually think this is actually a prime season to go all the way as well. When you start thinking that Liverpool ain't in it anyway, Bayern don't look good anyway, and you look at Real Madrid and Man City and you think, as I said before, I'm confident we'd give Man City a good game over two legs. If we got them in the semi-final and we got Partey and Timber back fit, there's no reason why we can't give them a good game. Do you know what I mean? There's no reason. Yeah. That's what it'd be all set up for, wouldn't it? It'd be obviously the master against the apprentice, Pep versus Arteta, the final, Wembley.
Yeah, you can guarantee that that's what they rig it as.
Just in time. Yeah. Just in time for Pep to his charges when we beat them.
Do you think that we stand more chance winning the Champions League than the Premier League?
Yes. I worry about these five away games at the end of the season. Well, that's my big concern at the moment. That's five hard away games near the back end of the season. It does concern me. We definitely need Partey back by Man City. Yeah. We need to be playing all season with Partey, Rice, Nodegaard, when we're going to Man United, Man City, Spurs, Brighton and Wolves. They're five hard games.
So would you rather play Man City once or twice?
Once.
But then, it's weird. I'd
rather play them home and away.
I think I'd rather play them twice and play Real Madrid once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think I'd rather play Real Madrid at Wembley.
I mean, I'd rather Real Madrid were out.
Yeah, obviously.
But if you let's go with Real Madrid out,
you ain't got the choice again. You ain't got the choice again, mate.
Let's go with that version. Where we don't have to play Real Madrid at all.
I'd rather
we play PSV in the final. Yeah. If you had to play one of them, who would you rather play over two legs, Man City or Real Madrid? I'm going Man City.
I think
we know them. I think Arteta knows them.
I mean, both of them I'd rather puke in my mouth than play them, but.
What's more intimidating, going to Man City or going to Real Madrid? I think Real Madrid would be more intimidating and more.
Yeah, but you're not going to play. Yeah. Real Madrid. You're not going to Real Madrid, are you? You've still got a Wembley. So
no, but you, yeah, that's a one game.
And I'm then saying you've got Real Madrid at Wembley, so it's essentially home turf anyway.
Yeah, but if you have to play one in the semi and one in the final, for me, I'd rather play Man City in a two leg.
Yeah, I think so. And then
Real Madrid in the final.
If we had to play Real Madrid, just for the sake of a scenario.
Just for the sake of it.
I'd still rather they were out.
I don't think
Real Madrid this season. I mean, I know what they've got, don't get me wrong, but I know City are I'm saying they're fragile, but I think Real Madrid are more likely to underestimate us than what City are. I think City maybe even have our number now. And I don't know what Pep is like with that kind of number card. We've never been the Liverpool to Man City.
Before, well, we? this is the woman to ask. Real Madrid, 1,000 times worse than a final.
Yes.
That is true. Okay. What are you going for, George?
Okay. What would you go for? The other way, like with Real Madrid, like Bellingham's injured, I could see Arsenal beating Madrid over two legs and or over one. I'd be about playing Man City just because of the bias that Man City get. And obviously Martin Odegaard's gonna wanna say, what'd you sell me for? It all depends, like, you've got to think, they've got all the crap going on about Mbappe now. Like, I know he's signing for them, but it's still going to unsettle their dressing room a little bit.
Yeah, but they're kind of settled for that, aren't they? They got, like, big players coming in and out, like a blooming Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
I don't know if Bellingham was a big player, though, was he? He was, the way people spoke about him, he was a fairly... A known, but also an unknown. You have to work in order to be the Real Madrid legend. You can't just come in and be that guy. Oh, hello, I'm here, and I'm that guy. But I put it.
85 million on him. It's not exactly
true. It was quite a bit, to be fair.
So are we saying Real Madrid without Mbappe, Bellingham, Wijnaldum, and
that's why we need to win it this year. That's why I want to win it this year.
Real Madrid with an Aldi sponsor on the shirt. And they forget the team bus.
Didn't they have all day when we beat them years ago?
We did, but we were more experienced in Europe then.
Yeah, I don't know. We can beat anyone.
We obviously did a lot of time consistently in Europe.
Yeah. I would rather.
We got the home advantage in the final, though, if we did get them in the final.
Wembley. That's what I say. Wembley is kind of a home. It's not home, but it's kind of home, isn't it?
I'd rather just get PSV or Dortmund in the final, but
that's exactly the scenario I was going through. Rather than Real Madrid in the final, do you know what I mean?
Sold.
For these people, we want to beat Man City and Real Madrid. When we're shit, how we win it? I'll be quite happy.
I'll be more than confident taking PSG on at the moment, though, wouldn't you? Like, even with Mbappe, I think Saliba will pocket him. I'll take PSG in the quarters. I'll definitely take PSG in the quarters.
Over two legs. I think I'd definitely be happy with PSG over two.
If Newcastle could spank them 4-1, then you got to say that they're probably they were lucky against Newcastle in Paris as well, weren't they? That was never a penalty in like the 93rd minute.
No, and they'll probably be spitting the dummy out now anyway because Mbappe is definitely off.
Yeah, that'll derail the Champions League.
Yeah,
I'll take them definitely. I think they'll be one of my first choices.
Take Real Sociedad if they can knock PSG out in the second leg.
Anyway, we better get through Porto first.
Yeah, exactly.
They were playing for the final, and we not even got through Porto. That's why we didn't get this 14 last year. So
we're doing it. I'll let Anna have the last word. She's been quite talking it on here. She's going to go for a Man City Arsenal final, so I'll take that all day long. As long as we're there.
Yeah, then. I'll definitely take that. Thank you very much.
Gabriel,
definitely. Winner. Yeah. And it'll be even better, Anna, if City do knock out Real Madrid and we don't have to face Real Madrid whatsoever.
Yeah.
That'd be even better. So.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, they won't sell the ground out, yeah.
And Man City have their court case just a few weeks after that. So,
yeah, they're not getting punished for anything. Don't hang anything on the court case. They're not getting punished for anything at all.
They're getting out.
Nothing.
But that's a different show, isn't it? That's a conspiracy show.
Yeah. I think we've had enough talk of Man City for one night. But yeah. Obviously, thank you very much, Abby, for your debut. Thanks for coming on.
No worries.
Been an absolute pleasure. Brilliant. Thank you very much again, George.
No worries, mate. I'll see you Saturday.
Yep, you shall see me Saturday. I won't say bright and early because it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, but I'll be there early enough. And thank you very much, Sparks. Are you there Saturday, I'm guessing?
I am indeed. I shall see you in the bar.
Absolutely, mate. So obviously I just want to thank everyone in obviously the chat. Honestly, been absolutely brilliant tonight. So thank you very much. Been so much talk. And we really appreciate all your support that you kind of give us. So thank you. Thank you for Ryan again for obviously trusting me with the keys today to the show. So that was really good. So we go on to Porto. Obviously, massive game tomorrow. Hopefully a win for the Arsenal when we go back to the Emirates and then wrap it all up in style. It's a good night for me and it's a good night for my guests. Good night, all.